they wanted him to be qadi because they wanted pious people to be in that place of qada. But Imam Abu Hanifa did not like to have that responsibility because he wanted to have nothing to do with honor in dunya. He was a person of such humbleness that when someone asked him, where is Abu Hanifa the faqih? He said, Abu Hanifa the servant is in front of you. Abu Hanifa the teacher, but not the faqih. He did not want to be called the faqih. And he humbled himself in front of people, in front even of the barber who taught him, the barber who cut his hair or who shaved his hair at the Kaaba. He said to him when he was there, Abu Hanifa was going to sit in a place that is not facing the Kaaba. The barber reminded him, you must face the Kaaba. That is the sunnah, even when shaving your hair. And Imam Abu Hanifa said, he made dua for him. He made dua for that barber because he said, oh, you have taught me something, you have reminded me of the sunnah and of the learning. May Allah have mercy on you. May Allah reward you. He was humble like that. He didn't say, barber teaching me. No, it was not like that. And so when they approached him for qada, be a judge, he said, no, I don't want to be a judge. I'll be a humble teacher. I'll be a person who prays. And if people ask me questions, whatever I know, I will answer. But otherwise, I don't want to sit in a high chair and people coming to me afraid of the law, and I'm going to judge this one and judge that one, and perhaps this one unjustly. I'm afraid to judge. No, I don't want it. He said, no, you must be. No. We must be or we'll throw you in jail. Throw me in jail. They threw him in jail. You must be or we will beat you. I don't care. They beat him. They would beat him for every day that he was in jail, and even it is said that he even died from that. Some of the accounts of his life say that he died in jail from the beatings, from refusing to be a qadi. Other accounts say no, he was beaten in jail, but then he was released and he left and he died later, 1 year later or sometime later after that. So this, just to show you that he had his trials, big trials in his life, such as beating. Another trial was with the Khawarij. They wanted to kill him. Now the Khawarij were people, a sect, a Muslim sect, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam predicted. He said, you will see a certain people that recite Quran so well that you will be jealous of them. And the Khawarij were all Huffaz of Quran. Their description was that they had like here, like the goats of the knee from sujood. Sujood on pebbles and rocks and dust and here, like that. This was also the description of the Sahaba Kiram also, because they made sujood on hard surfaces, not like us on rugs and so forth. So the Khawarij were people who were Huffaz of Quran, but they were not Sahaba. They were from the later generation. And they were people who considered themselves the most pious of Muslims in the Ummah. So much so that anybody who disagreed with them, they considered kafir. Like that. Cut and dry, yani either you are with us or you are a kafir, subhanallah. And they would even consider that some of the Sahaba were wrong, even some of the greatest Sahaba, like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And some of the early Khawarij even killed Sahaba and tortured them. Yes. So that sect, the Sahaba, the Khawarij were fought by the Sahaba. They were fought by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, because Sayyidina Ali remembered what the Prophet ﷺ had said. He had said, if you see them, you will think that they recite Quran better than you, but it doesn't go beyond here, beyond their throat. Yani it's just a matter of reciting it, but that's it. It goes out and it's nothing. It does not go from the hearts to the hearts. It does not go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not an act of piety. It is something that they do. So, and then he said also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they are in the fire. The Khawarij, they are in the fire. And he said also, they will deviate from religion. the way that the arrow deviates from its target, it never comes back to the target. خلاص, once the arrow deviates, it doesn't make a U-turn or a 90-degree turn. It cannot. It continues and it goes far from the target. So he said, this is what how the Khawarij will be. He said, and if I were to live in their time, I would fight them also. So this is a mark that the Sahaba Kiram, they fought against the Khawarij, but they did not consider them kuffar, no. But they would consider them on the wrong way. And they defeated them in their time, but they did not completely erase them from the face of the earth. So these Khawarij come up time and again. And they exist till our time. They exist till our time. Now, some of the Khawarij that exist in our time exist under the name of Khawarij because they are descendants, historical descendants of the original groups, like the Ibadi. The Ibadi group in Oman, in Algeria, in other parts of the Gulf. But these are very moderate. They are very moderate. They do not make takfir of the Sahaba or any Sunni Muslims. But there are Khawarij under a different name in our midst, and their mark is to make takfir of other Muslims. So all this to say to you, be very careful. Never be on the side of those who make takfir, to say such and such is a kafir, that group is kuffar. No. Keep the best opinions of Muslims, even if they belong to different schools, even if they are not even part of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Because the mark of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is never to declare other Muslims kafir. Always to give the benefit of the doubt, to say they are on the wrong way, but we don't go that far. We do not declare them kafir. And the mark of the Khawarij is to go beyond that, to transgress in that way, and to declare others kafir. That is a mark of the Khawarij. Another mark of the Khawarij, in the time of Imam Abu Hanifa, radiallahu anhu, was that they shaved, apparently they shaved their head, or in the time of the companions. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, you will recognize them by that mark. They shave their heads. But he didn't say actually shave their heads. They shave, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. At-tahliq. Tahliq. Or al-halq, depending on the narrations. Shaving. So it is commonly believed that it meant shaving their heads because, in their view, you had to remove the hair of kufr once you entered into their group, you see. Yeah, they invented it. It's one of the characteristics of Ahlul Bid'ah is they invent new rules. And so this was one of the rules that they had. But another view is that it didn't mean their hair. It meant their beards. It meant their beards. And this is one of the interpretations that Sheikh Mustafa Badawi mentions. Sheikh Mustafa Badawi, you know him from his translations. This beautiful Sheikh from who has those beautiful translations of Imam Abdullah al-Haddad and Sheikh Habib Mashhur al-Haddad. And lately, Man and the Universe, an Islamic perspective, a beautiful book about the Islamic worldview. The Islamic worldview of life, the universe, the creation, mankind, and destiny of human destiny, and so forth, the greater questions, you might say, and also Muslim psychology. And if you want to see, you know, and he's a psychologist actually by training. Yeah. So he says in that book that it has two meanings, and this is the beauty of this hadith. Halq means either halq of the head, which applies to those who are gung-ho and very strict, super strict, and very big on forms. They will come to you and they will criticize you without even knowing you, because you don't pray right, because you don't stand right in the mosque, because you don't sit right, because you don't eat right, because you don't speak right, because you don't mispronounce this, because you do that. And to them, the whole religion consists in forms. Okay?
And doesn't consist That's, in God.
They forget. They forget the ruh of the religion, and they stick to the body of the religion without the ruh. Okay. And then there is another, the other extreme will say, do what you like, etc. The important thing is the ruh without the body. The body, the ruh has no body, it's disembodied and floating around in the higher ether and so forth. But no, we live on earth, we need the body and we need the rules. So one is gung-ho on rules, the other is gung-ho on the ruh. And so the second group, shake the beard. You see the opposite extremes? So this is what Sheikh Mustafa Badawi mentions as the interpretation of this hadith. And it makes it applicable in the beginning of Islam, the first generations, as that early sect of Khawarij, and it makes it applicable to our time also. Those who will say, yes, praying behind my wife, I do that, like Khalid Abul Fadl, and keeping 27 dogs at home to show that it is halal. So yes, you have those people in this very country. And they want to, quote-unquote, revise tafsir. They want to, quote-unquote, revise fiqh. Yes, and give you new usul of everything. Yes, in other words, they want to recreate and give you a new religion. So, may Allah be our protection against that. So, that was Kharijism, and this is Kharijism also. That was extreme in strictness, and that one is extreme in the opposite of strictness. And both of them are outside the pale. So in the time of Imam Abu Hanifa, they existed and they were after him and wanted to kill him, and he escaped them more than once. And that was another trial that he suffered. And now, some of the famous positions of the mazhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, you might know, for example, that the time for Asr differs in the Hanafi mazhab and the other mazhabs. The time for Asr, according to the position of Imam Abu Hanifa, is when the object's shadow is twice the length of the object in the afternoon. Okay, when the object's shadow is twice the length of the object, then Asr has entered, but not before. Whereas the other three mazahibs, when the object is once the length, the shadow is once the length of the object, then Asr has entered. So in other words, it takes place earlier. Asr enters earlier in the other mazahibs and lasts to Maghrib, like in the Hanafi. And that is the position of the two companions of Imam Abu Hanifa, Abu Yusuf and Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, Imam Muhammad. Okay? So it is also a Hanafi position, but it is not the Hanafi position. Why? Because the Hanafi position is the position of the Imam Abu Hanifa. In this and in when they differ, it is the position of Abu Hanifa that is called the Hanafi position. But is it against the Hanafi mazhab 100% to pray in the same time as the Shafi'is and Malikis and Hanbalis? No, because it is also followed by two of the greatest imams in the Hanafi mazhab after the founder himself. And they are not lightweights. Yani Abu Yusuf and Muhammad ibn Hassan, yani they are the first. They come second only to Abu Hanifa, radiallahu anhum ajma'in.